The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. You, O Lord. One day he was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, "Master, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." So he said, "When you pray, say, 'Father, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Keep us alive with 3 square meals a day. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil.'" And then he said, "Imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. My old friend traveling through, not just now showed up, and I don't have a thing on hand.' The friend answered from his bed, 'Don't bother me. My door is locked. My children are all down for the night. I can't get up and give you anything.' But let me tell you, even if he won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground, knocking and waking all the neighbors, he'll finally give up and give you whatever you need." Here's what I'm saying. Ask and you'll get. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will open. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asked for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, do you mock her with a spider? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him? Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Over the last few weeks, we've looked at the Gospel of Luke and heard about Jesus teaching the disciples as they walked around the countryside. He told them of the greatest commandments: love God with the entirety of your being and love your neighbor as you love yourself. He discussed with them, "Who is my neighbor?" and introduced the Good Samaritan story. I thought it might be of interest to look at today's readings on the basis of who were God's neighbors. And how did he love them? And what was his neighborhood for each of them? In Hosea's time, which was around 750 before Christ, God is occupied with the kingdom of Israel. That was the northernmost kingdom. The country had just gone through a long period of stable leadership and economic growth. The people became interested only in themselves and how to enjoy their wealth. They totally ignored God. They worshiped the gods of Baal. And as Eugene Peterson writes in The Message, they worshiped their own genitals. Promiscuity abounded. God is royally fed up with them and is threatening to totally abandon them. It was tough love. But in the end, the Israelites and God came around and worked together. The Psalms were written around 500 BC. Many of them were centered around Jerusalem. The promised land was once again united under one king, and God was worshipped by almost all of the people. The Psalms are individual prayers of praise, basically, or not always praise, but they're individual prayers so that they vary from the approach taken. And some of them were used as hymns in the time. In Jesus' time, the time when all dates are measured from, God has come down to live in the neighborhood. Jesus walked and visited through pretty much all of what has been called the Promised Land. People were surviving under Roman rule, but barely. And most of the fighting between the various tribes and so on had stopped. The Romans made sure of that. Jesus tried to move the people into the kingdom of God, and the church hierarchy opposed him to the point of his death on a cross. About 60 years later, Paul enlarged God's neighborhood to include the Gentile people in Central Asia. This is still all part of the Roman Empire. God's influence is to encourage the Christian Jews to accept the Gentiles as equals and neighbors to love. If we fasten on our seatbelts now and get ready and do a fast jet to 2019 years after the death of Christ, and we come to a place called Edmonton at the end of July, and we meet ourselves. We have a mobile society, and we have many neighborhoods. We have a neighborhood around our home where we live. We have a neighborhood around our church, in and around our church. And some of us have neighborhoods with the people we work with every day. And we have neighbors of all nationalities, colors, creeds, and genders. Some are easy to love. Some are harder to love. But we keep trying with all the people. We're now in what is called a post-Christian era, and we struggle to make God acceptable and important to all people and to all of us outcasts and oddballs, as Rachel Held Evans says. We move on now to today's gospel. Jesus is talking to his disciples about prayer. He gives them one version of the Lord's Prayer, and the one that we normally use is the one that is given in Matthew. And he goes on to encourage praying often. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. While I was contemplating this, I was thinking, does this give the disciples and we, the readers, raised expectations of false hope? But the message continues, don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. I think the word need here, not the word want, is the key. Many people worship pray very hard that they're going to get that winning $1 million lottery ticket this week, but that's probably not exactly what they need. What we receive may not be what we expected. Our seeking might give us a change of direction in which to continue the journey, not a destination. And when the door is opened, will we be able to enter? Will we even want to enter when we see what's on the other side? After Jesus discusses how a parent will treat her or his child, this section wraps up with, "And don't you think that the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him?" The Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity, and I understand that it dwells within each of us and is in direct communication with the Father and the Son. So what we need should be understood and be made available to us if we do ask for it as an answer to our prayer. But we just have to understand what that answer is and what it means and seize it when it's offered. Paul, in his letter from jail to the people of Colossae, which was a small Ephesian city, talks to the people on how they should be responding to Jesus' teaching. In Eugene Peterson's Plain Talk again in the Message, he says, "School is out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. Let your living spill over into thanksgiving." And I can't think of any better advice for the Colossians, for the disciples, even for us today in our neighborhoods of Edmonton. Amen.